But let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to the 8th chapter of Revelation. And tonight we're going to get into the 7th seal. Now we went through the first 6 seals in the 6th chapter of Revelation. We took a quick break in the 7th chapter. Really wasn't a break. It was really amazing how we were introduced to those sweet companies, the 144,000, and then we were introduced to the innumerable multitude. But now, back in this 8th chapter, we're back into coming to the last seal, or the 7th seal. And if you remember back on the first 6 seals, back there in the 6th chapter, the first 4 seals were a kind of a micro-condensed version of the entire tribulation. Well, tonight, I am encouraged of the Lord to bring forth that this 7th seal is once again a condensed version, if you will, of the entire tribulation. But the revelation in this is just beyond, just like it was in a many way in those first 4 seals. Now, as we begin tonight, we're going to read about silence in heaven. And let's go ahead and read verse 1 together of the 8th chapter. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Silence in heaven, the space of about a half an hour. Now, again, this speaks of this tribulation, this 7-year period of time, as 7 days. We know a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. But this half hour is a very short time. So it opens up that there is silence. There's a pause that has happened. Something is kind of just stopped in amazement. Now, I've heard people describe this as a pause in the middle of the week, that somehow they needed a break, and or there was a break taken and getting prepared for something else. I've heard that this could be the wedding ceremony. I've heard that ones have said this is the wedding feast. But as I'm encouraged tonight, I believe the emphasis of this silent time is the union of a husband and a wife. And as I mentioned earlier, and this is a little bit different vision, it's the same truth, but a little bit different. And I think you'll see in the Word of God how the Spirit has led me here. But this 7th chapter is a complete condensed version of the entire tribulation. And we begin, obviously, at the first trump rapture, the bride would be then captured away into heaven. Now, the reason that we can know this, that this is a condensed version, the following verses that describe the 7 trumpets, the 7 trumpets that come from this 7th seal, show very clearly that this silence is before any of the companies arrive in heaven. So the companies in heaven are not before this silence. Matter of fact, if you get to the 5th trumpet, which is in the 9th chapter, the 5th trumpet, we haven't even gotten to the time. That's even before the 144,000 are even taken into heaven. So at that time, you're still 250 days before the middle of the week. Remember, the week speaks of the 7 years. The middle of the week would be the 3.5 years into the tribulation. So even at the 5th trumpet, you wouldn't even be to the middle of the week. So going kind of backwards from that, we realize that there are many things that happen. And as we'll look at each one of these trumpets, I think we'll go back and say, oh yes, I saw that back there in a different way in the 2nd seal and the 3rd seal and the 4th seal. But you recall back to the 1st seal. Do you remember that? That was when the white horse came out. That's that one that sat upon the horse and cried peace and plenty, in a sense, had a bow but no arrows, showing that that was the Antichrist that would come in to basically really deceive the world. When we get into that tribulation time, and at the very first of that, there is going to be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof like we've never seen. That is just going to come in so rampant, so quickly, so amazing. And I think the Lord has shown us this in our own country over, you know, the last 30, 40 years, things have been accelerating, and things continue to accelerate every decade. Matter of fact, even every year, the Lord's coming. And he shows us this even in his creation. I love that how they used to think that things increase at a decreasing rate no matter what they are. They look at humans, we get older, we get slower and that type of thing. But when you look out into God's creation and they look out at this planetary system and into our universe, they can't understand what's going on. Things are happening at a faster rate all the time. The universe is not slowing down, it's increasing. And I believe, again, that speaks of the heart of God and his passion for us. It's increasing in us all the time. So, getting back to what I'm encouraged to talk about is this silence. So we see that, this silence in heaven, there's on earth at this time, there's not a war. There's no wars going on or anything at the very first of the tribulation. We know that. It's a time of great peace and plenty. Wars and rumors of wars. But they're going to announce it, that it's just this lovely time, okay? So they're all caught up in their unbelief, and it's really going to get ramping up at that time. But as well as what we're going to see is this silence at the moment of the rapture perfectly follows something very precious that the Lord revealed to me that I never knew. And it's typed in the tradition of the original Jewish wedding. The tradition of the original Jewish wedding. And in the original Jewish wedding, there was never a wedding ceremony. And that's what was on my heart for about the last 2 weeks. And I didn't even understand why. That there's no wedding ceremony, son. There's no wedding ceremony. And I kind of wondered, you wake me up at night, there's no wedding ceremony. Okay, what does that mean? Well, in the Word of God, I could never find that wedding ceremony. Where is the wedding ceremony? Well, when I'm talking about the wedding ceremony, I'm talking about where they walk down the altar and they say, I do, and all that. Do you know that that wasn't even part of any wedding ceremony in the Jewish tradition until 300 years after Christ? So that came in way after the fact. And I'm going to tell you something, I never knew that. But God got me up awfully early to say, I want you to search that out because I'm going to show you something in here. And this is what he showed me, that there was no formal wedding ceremony in the original Jewish weddings. What took place was the father of a son would announce that he was looking for a bride for his son. He would go out and he would look and speak this into the extended family. He would obviously give this to the Jewish community that his son would be having a wife. Upon that offering of his son, it was then the woman's decision, as if she would marry this man. Let that soak in. It was the woman's decision if she would marry this man. I know we've heard a lot of different things, but this is how it went down. He would, again, put that out and she would decide. It was her decision if she would be his bride. Now you think about that, because that so perfectly follows the invitation that the Lord gives to all his people. In this church age, we know that the invitation to the bride is to all believers. We do. The Word of God tells us this. I believe he shows us this so clearly in Galatians 4:1. Amen? We're born all little lords of all. All the sons of God. He doesn't have any favorites. We're all endued and with that same potential, the full potential. He said, I would that all men be saved. So there was not even a respecter of persons of just the basic man. His son died for the sin of every man. We know that. But it said that I would that all be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Well, we know what the full knowledge of the truth is, don't we? It's the bridal message. That's the full knowledge. That's what sister has upon her heart for her family. That's what, by the grace of God, I know we all have on our hearts for everybody in our family and those we care for. And I'm praying for even those we don't care for. We would want them to know the truth. Amen? That's something. From there, when, again, that offering was there for this man's son to have a wife, then there were three parts to a Jewish marriage. Three parts. And just look at it like this. There was the contract, there was the consummation, and then there was the celebration. Contract, consummated, and then the celebration. The first part was the bride's acceptance of the groom's proposal. At that moment when the bride accepted the groom's proposal, there was a contract signed. At the moment that the contract was signed, they were married. That was it. They were absolutely married. They were husband and wife at that moment when she accepted. They were husband and wife at the moment the contract was signed. And again, isn't that not an example of the bride for Isaac? That proposal that was sent through the servant Eliezer that was given to him to go find that wife. There was that proposal that was given to Rebecca. And when she chose to marry Isaac, she was given the bracelets, she was given the earrings, she was given all those things. And it was consummated by her words, "I will go." They were married. Oh yes, she was going to her husband. It was done. Now, do we see clearly that in our lives, the moment that we say, "I will go," we have signed the wedding contract with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the truth. That is why the wife, and we'll go back to this again, hath made herself ready. The wife, she is a readied wife. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You have it. It's been given by grace. Those that cherish the crown, those that continue on loving his appearing, that means you just live in first love matrimony. Amen. Praise be to God. Those will be that readied wife. So that's the first part, was the contract. Then the second part, after the contract, after they're now husband and wife, they need to consummate the marriage. The groom would need to know his wife. Yes, they would make love. That sometimes would be a short time after, but most of the time, back in that day, it was a long time after. We saw that with Jacob, didn't we? Do you know that he was given that hand in marriage? They were married in that sense, but he would have to wait 7 years each time before it was consummated. And you'll never read about a ceremony because there wasn't a ceremony. The contract was signed. But there were things that had to be prepared. There were things that had to be readied. One of the things that had to be prepared and readied was that the husband would have to show to the wife's family that he was prepared for her to come to live with him. What is our Lord doing right now? He's building a mansion. Praise God. Go back in there into Kings and read about Solomon's house. You know, Solomon built a house besides the temple. And you know, within the house, do you know he built another place within that house for his queen? What do you think the Lord's building for you? It's amazing. It's so wonderful. Let him, Jesus, just keep opening this up to us. It's an amazing thing. But see, he would need to go to receive her to consummate that marriage. But everything, like I said, had to be ready. He had to have the means to take care of her. It had to be the exact right timing. And then he would go to receive her to consummate the marriage. Now, oftentimes in that day, they would like to go and receive her at night. Huh? While everybody else was sleeping. I believe that kind of reminds me of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How about you? Amen? That's why it says, we shouldn't be of those, again, that are sleeping in the night, but should be readied and looking that that thief would not just come in the night. And then, which was so wonderful, when that groom would come, he would come with his closest friends to get her. Isn't that something? He would come with his closest friends to get her for that time of consummation. I believe it says that Jesus is coming for me with a cloud in the air. I believe his closest friends at this time are probably those full overcomers in the Old Testament, wouldn't you? Amen? The Word of God's so perfect, it's breathtaking. I wish I could tell you it better, but I'm going to have to let God do that in your heart. But once again, looking back, when Rebecca finishes her journey to Isaac, remember when she finishes that journey? She's coming on that camel, and she sees one running through the field. And she asks the master, says, the servant who's taken her, Eliezer, he says, "Who is that?" He says, "Oh, that's the master. That's your husband." Oh, and she lights off that camel. She immediately covers herself. Amen? And here was what was really neat, is that when the groom would come and get his wife, when the husband come and get his wife, he would, where they would consummate was in the wife's mother's house. Kind of interesting, isn't it not? Well, isn't that interesting? Where did Isaac take her? To his mother's tent. I believe that's our mother, is that not? Sarah? Wouldn't that be Grace? Praise God. Isn't that our mother? Hallelujah. It's awesome. It's like I said, I was just running through the house screaming as the Lord was giving me all this. I just was like, oh my goodness, Lord, it is. And I was just telling you. And I have to tell you, I was speaking to sister because she just had called me about something. So she got spilled on right away first. So she gets a second portion right now. But as I was just praising the Lord, Polly was out of town. And I walked to my back door. And, I told you we feed all the birds in the state of Colorado. And they come through there. And the doves, they always sit on the fence line. They either sit on the house, the fence. I mean, they're never in the grass. I've never seen them in the grass. They never get in the grass. But when I walked to that back door, and it was early, early in the morning, there was a white dove. And, I mean, he was solid white, as big as a chicken. And it was sitting in the middle of the grass. And I just laughed and laughed. And I said, oh, Lord, thank you. Your spirit, praise the Lord. So it was such a precious time. But once he, again, takes her to the mother's tent, that's where they consummate, again, their marriage. So, again, it is wonderful in the home of Mother Grace. That's where it's taken care of. So we've had the contract, amen? That was the contract. She said, I'll take him as my husband. And you think about the word of God at this time. Isn't that what the Father's doing? He's seeking, he's searching for those who will worship him, Jesus, in spirit and in truth, amen? Drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him. He wants the wife right now. That's who he's seeking for. Those that will say, I will go. So we have the contract, the consummation. And then the third part will be the wedding guests that will gather for the feast. So let's go back before we go on and think about this silence in heaven. We just read again as we started. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. About the space of half an hour. The first trump sounds, and we know that that trump is, it's his voice. He calls for her, the voice of the archangel. It's like a trumpet. Matter of fact, if you read, and that's what I'd love for you to do, preparing for next Wednesday, God willing, go back and read about the cherubim in Ezekiel. It's wonderful. You'll read about the cherubim. You'll read about how their lamps, when Ezekiel sees them, they're lamps. They're like burning coals of fire, which speaks of judgment, and they're like light. And then they move like lightning. They go back and forth like lightning. They're like thunder. They move through that way. And their voice is the same voice as the Lord. Their voice is that voice. Ezekiel hears their voice, and he says, that's the same voice as the Lord. The reason that I encourage you to go read that is because then these angels that we speak of that in Revelation that John sees, every description he gives of them are exactly like the cherubim back in Ezekiel because they are the same type. They are the same thing. It's the bride. And that's why it won't be a mystery to you. All of those pieces come together, but by the grace of God to rightly divide the word. And it just, it's so perfect. The perfection of the word of God is breathtaking. And the perfection of the word of God, again, in the heights of the bridal heart receiving it, there's nothing like it. I can't even get to that word. But you know what I'm talking about. It's beyond breathtaking. But that's how he does this. So he calls for her. That's the sound of the trump there in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And she's caught up and she meets her husband. Now, why would you say it's silent? Well, the Lord had me even go back to my courtship days. And, you know, even my wife being gone just 4 or 5 days. I missed her, I told her, after the third day. I'm teasing. I missed her right from the beginning. You got to stay with it now. Come on. I'll try to throw them in there to keep you awake. Especially when we courted. We hadn't seen each other for months. And there we would see one another. You know, we didn't come running at each other screaming. We were just running. There really wasn't anything to say. And we would embrace. We still didn't say anything. And then we would kiss. And I don't know about you. I can't say anything kissing. What do you think? You think there's a silence? I'm sure there's a lot of different things, but I'm sure that that's a silent thing. I remember hearing, I was rejoicing with Tammy and about John Ireland. Tammy thought he was coming right back. This was before they were married, and he had to go back to Scotland because he was getting his citizenship and things, but it was getting horsed up. It took years and all of these different things. And so she thought he was coming right back, but I guess 2 weeks turned into about 6-7 months or whatever it was. And so here he comes in. And he says, she said, not only did we not say anything when we embraced and kissed, but we actually sat in a car and just held hands and really were speechless for about an hour because we were just so thankful to be together. What do you think? Silence for about a half hour? Amen? So, what else can we take from that? Besides a kiss, she's home. We'll be home. Amen? That's our home. And they go into the chamber alone. Now, think about 1 Kings chapter 8. Bringing up a lot of stuff, but I want you to think about a lot of stuff. The Lord does. A lot of the things we talked about with the cherubim and the seraphim. One of the sweet things that you read about in 1 Kings chapter 8 is when they brought the ark into the Holy of Holies. They brought the ark into the Holy of Holies. And it says there that the cherubim stretched forth their wings over the ark. Because the ark had been taken away for some time and they brought it back in there. And you think about the cherubim. Well, the cherubim were just on the mercy seat. Their wings were already stretched over. But the way that it describes it in chapter 8 is like it's happening at that moment. That they're stretching over and blanketing, it says, the ark. So when that happens, smoke begins to fill the temple. This cloud begins to build up in the temple. And the priests that were there ministering, that were with the cherubim, with the presence of God, they had to get out of there. They couldn't stand it. Because that cloud was so thick. And it says, and all that remained was the cherubim and the presence of God. They were in that inner chamber all alone. And even the priests had to get out of there. A time of silence. A time, praise God, of very intimate things. A time of a consummation. Praise God. Now, the silence is the bride caught up in the marriage consummation. There's no wedding ceremony. A wedding feast is going to follow later, but we got to get the guests there. You got to get the innumerable multitude and the 144,000. And they'll be there later, praise God. And now about the feast. One of the things that I had to talk to the Lord about as he was revealing this to me, is I said, well, Lord, what about the five wise virgins? I've always heard about the five wise virgins. They would be the guests at the wedding. And that most of us have heard that, right? What about and that's in Matthew 25. What about in Revelation 19:7, where it says, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Right? Well, in both of those cases, whether it's the five wise virgins that go on into the marriage, that are guests in a sense at the marriage, it says, or in the case of 19:7, where it says, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The Lord said, look at that word marriage, son. Well, better interpreted, that word marriage is marriage feast. And then if you just go two verses over from 19:7 to 19:9, it definitely tells you it's the marriage supper. It's the supper, it's the feast. That's the time that, again, that they will have that marriage supper, the marriage of the Lamb is come. And think about this too. It says the marriage of the Lamb is come, and who made herself ready? The wife. We have lots of receptions here, don't we? Does the bride go down to the reception? No. She's already married. The wife is at the reception. The wife is at the feast. Read the verse. The Lord just told me, read the verse, son. What does it say? The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I know there's many types in that, but just on the surface, it would have to be the marriage feast has come. The reception, if you will, of the marriage has come, and the wife is ready because she's already married. Praise the Lord. I love how Jesus says, just be still, son. I'll teach you this. So, the wedding feast again will follow, and we'll have those guests at the wedding. And that's why, again, it's the wife that will be at that celebration, the feast, the reception, if you will. And this is so perfect, if going back all the way now, think about it. In chapter 4 of Revelation, when the bride is first seen in heaven, the four living ones, where is she? She's seated in the midst of the throne, amen? She's seated in the midst of the throne, amen? Who's seated in the midst of the throne with the king? Amen, but in a sense, the queen, amen? Well, that queen ain't getting in the midst of the throne with that king unless that queen is his wife. So at the very beginning of that reigning, when she goes into that place where John sees her, that's his wife. That contract had been signed a long time ago. And I'm thankful by the grace of God, I'm encouraged. I've signed that contract. Amen. Now, I can walk away from it. I understand. I haven't apprehended it. And I can. But I'm going to believe in the grace of God that'll perform that good work in me. Amen? All right now. So, I don't believe that we veered very far off. I think this is on the mark of what God has set up. So, I'm excited about this encouragement to my heart. But you see, the queen would not be seated with the king unless they were properly married. All that is done. And later on, after the companies, after the innumerable multitude, the 144,000 are captured and brought up into heaven, then we'll get to a wedding feast. Praise God. I pray that's encouraged you. See, that's something to know before we launch off into the 8th chapter. And you know, that's pretty amazing. There we got the number 8 right in front of us. So we got bridal stuff. Amen. So it's a good thing. So let's go back and start reading again from the first verse. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. I believe now you have a different vision of it. I believe it's a beautiful vision of it. Soak it in now. We could sit here for about a half hour if you wanted to, but I think we'll kind of move on. All right, so now we go on. The half hour, the silence in, the consummation is over. Let's get a taste of what's to come. Let's read verses 2-6. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now we're just going to talk briefly about this introduction, because I'll tell you what, I know you've been chewing on a lot already. And, you know, we just wouldn't want anybody to pass out tonight. But John sees these 7 angels. And this vision, obviously, now we see this perfection, this completion of angels. And we know, as we've read through the Word of God, these angels, especially in Revelations here, these are messengers. These, throughout Revelation, we see these angels as companies of saints. We saw last week, we talked about the 100 million angels, as we called them, the innumerable multitude of the Old Testament that were there. We've seen the 4 angels that were holding back the 4 winds. Those are back in the first 6 seals. And we saw that they were the bride. We saw the types, the shadows in that. Now we have these 7 angels. And again, we will see as we go through, and that's why I encourage you, go into Ezekiel. I'll touch on some stuff next week in Ezekiel to bring this to light. But study. Study these things. Don't just come. I want you to come. You'll learn it here as well too. But pray in Jesus' name. He gives you that desire to want to go see these things. Because brothers and sisters, as this stuff just continues to jump off the page and jump into your heart and say, oh Lord, this is mine. And it's so beautiful. You see it here. You see it here. You see it here. You see it here. And it's just, again, it's how do I love thee? Let me show you. I'll count the ways with you, honey. Boom, 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 boom. And you just keep seeing it. And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, you take my breath away. So these angels here are not like a Michael and Gabriel. These are companies of saints. So these seven angels are another vision of the four living ones of the bridal saints. Now we're going to read, well, we have read, that these seven angels are given seven trumpets. Now, those that are somewhat understanding of many of the Bible stories, this is very similar, wasn't it, to Joshua. Remember when Joshua? See, and the Lord always types things, doesn't he? He always types things in the Word of God. That's, the Old Testament is full of types and shadow. But by the grace of God, we need Paul's gospel to get those Paul's gospel Holy Ghost enlightened goggles on to get in there to see this word and how incredible it is. But you think about Joshua. What was Joshua encouraged of the Lord of? He was going to lead the people into the promised land. Amen? And so when they were going to take the promised land, one of the very first things to walk into that promise, they had to go fight an adversary, an enemy. There was a battle that had to be fought. And that battle was that battle of Jericho. They had to go in there. And you know what God told him? He says, well, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to go in there and you're going to have seven trumpet players. And did he recruit seven angels to play those trumpets? No, he didn't. He had seven priests. Seven priests. So you think about the seven priests that were going to go in there. And those are the ones that would march around. And then they would blow those trumpets each day. And then so those seven priests, what did they represent at that time? They represented the highest ranking spiritual leaders. So we had Joshua, this type of Christ, that was bringing them into their promise, amen, and bringing them into their promise with seven priests, which represented their highest ranking spiritual leaders. Just like Jesus Christ is about ready to bring us into our promise. And instead of having seven priests, by the grace of God, he's going to have his bridal company, hallelujah, that are going to be blasting these seven trumpets. And these are the highest ranking spiritual leaders that are going to be blowing these trumpets. And just like the wall that fell down for Joshua and those that were with him, you hadn't seen nothing yet in what's going to fall down in this tribulation time when this is wrapped up. The glory that's going to come when that blast happens and the destruction of the earth that's going to lead us into the promise of the millennial reign of Christ Jesus as God on the throne. Amen. See, isn't that wonderful how he shows us this? He says, honey, I've already shown you this. I've shown you this in type what I'm going to do over here. He showed us in type a bride for Isaac. Amen? And he's going to have that shown to us and worked in us that we would be and take that place. Amen? So this is again with these things that happen in the tribulation. He's shown us this in type in Joshua. He's going to do it over there with those that believe. Amen? Those will be the ones that will be blasting them trumpets. Ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. Praise God. See, that's why I say the perfection of the Word of God and how he continues to remind us, honeys, this could not be of any man. Just like Paul said, no man gave me this. This isn't of man. Let me tell you, this is so beyond man. Man could not write this. This is God's word, and there is nothing like it. And for, you know, centuries and thousands of years, those that have been encouraged, enlightened eyes, have looked into this word and have been encouraged in this word and led in this word by his spirit. And think of the layers and line upon line that continues to come forth. It's endless. And that's why I love how the Lord said that. He said, oh, no. You keep walking through the land. There's more land to take. Isn't that amazing? I always think of it as like that, I never can remember things very well, but there was that movie where the lost treasure or whatever it was, and you know, they got into the room, finally they found the treasure. So they start light, you know, and they can see it just barely, and they're just stunned how beautiful and amazing all of this treasure is, and it's in this giant, giant room. But it's kind of dark and everything, and so, you know, they have to light it with torches, because there's it was built a long time ago, and so and the torches, there are these little canals with oil in them to light it up. So they lit those trenches, and that trench just kept going back and back and back, and it went way through the big room, and it just looked like it went on infinitely. And it just kept lighting up more treasure and more treasure and more treasure and more treasure. Amen. That's what we have. It's endless. Keep walking through the land. So, we're going to just stop tonight. We'll end it a little bit early. But it's so beautiful because you think here's the seven angels, and then that other angel that comes, that's Jesus, that has the censer and all, okay? So again, this is John. You know, John's just writing he's encouraged. This is what he's seeing. But see, John can't interpret this. This is what I'm just, again, to express this to you. This has to be interpreted by his spirit through Paul's gospel. That's how it has to be. It has to be Paul's gospel that'll allow us to see this, that enlightened eyes of understanding, the dispensation that'll bring all of the types and shadows into seeing these things very clearly. But here you have standing before the throne, which I love this. You have Jesus and you have the seven angels. And I think about, and it basically it's the husband and the wife. And I guess I'm a little bit of a romantic. I think about, you know, the picture of Romeo and Juliet as they stood there together and ready to pour it forth and ready to let the glories roll of judgment. Remember when we were talking about the Song of Solomon? Remember we were talking about the honeymoon? What was the honeymoon? It was basically pouring forth the judgment, wasn't it? Remember she said to him, let's get up early and go. It's ripe. She was excited to get to this. This is the time she's at. It's all there. It's all there. I pray it encourages your heart. I'm looking forward to that time of silence. How about you? Like nothing else. I'm sure I'll like to be saying a lot of things, but I'm sure I'll be in such awe and Twitter-pated at that time. There ain't going to be anything but embrace and kisses. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.